G'day, Snappers, and welcome to the Sunday Snap, coming to you through the SC Ballers feed. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of the Haasbeens, and with me to talk about all the big news coming out of Magic Round is the coach of Tubes Pods. Tubes! How you going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Up and about. Just been following the socials, seeing people wearing Young GI shirts up at Magic Round. Happy to be supporting my own this evening. So, yeah, feeling good. Looks you're good, fired up.
Yeah, I'm fired up. I've had another big week, Tubes. I ended up with a 15:30 last week. I've gone 15:82 before updates today. Ooh. So feeling pretty good after another big score. A couple of big weeks can change your mood in Supercoach. How did you travel on the weekend?
Not as big as you. I had a 14:77, which I feel it's going to keep me ticking over. I think I'll be climbing a little bit from where I am with that. So I'm feeling good. I brought in one trade this week, and it was Connor Tracy, big pod play. You got 120 odd, so you can't be too disappointed with that.
Oh, no, you can't complain when you're a massive pod, like you said, and he goes 100 plus. That's a huge pod play. It's very Tubes doing that, and I'm glad it paid off for you this time. Tubes, this time. I think, our usual plugs for SC Ballers, the Unlimited League, I think it's still open for a couple more weeks. There are $5,000 in cash prizes up for grabs. The Baller listener base and follower base continues to grow, so more and more people are getting in there and making that league bigger. The league code is 730444. That's 730444. So if you haven't joined, get in there and do it. Tubes, baller.live, still absolutely flying. It's the quickest website in all of Supercoach, and that continued over the weekend. If you are not using that for your live Supercoach updates, you're just not playing Supercoach right. But Tubes, I think, in terms of plugs and new things going on, I mean, all we can really talk about is how good it looked up there at Magic Round. Matt, the head honcho of the podcasting arm of Baller, and C-Mac, Baller contributor and current sixth ranked overall, they were up there over the weekend, and how good did it look? I was so jealous.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I think we'd already said we've booked our flights for next year. We couldn't make it work this year. So apologies to the Snappers that were looking for us up there. The Snappers and Ballers. But yeah, looking forward to it next year. I mean,
how good was it, Matt? Obviously, he's had a huge week in Supercoach. Like, I had a 15:82. I know Matt beat me this week, so he's going to be a big climbing week, and he's already got a good rank. But this morning, Tubes, he was getting onto us saying, "I'm going to come on the Snap tonight." He was still full of steam, fired up, and I think he got home and the tiredness and reality just kicked in and he's not going to join us tonight, but he's had a huge round. And, yeah, him and Chris did such a good job up there. Tubes, we've got to give a shout-out to two new friends of the show, Mitch and Dylan, sporting their Young GI. So they won them as a giveaway, found Matt, gave Shibasaki's projection of 55, and then they've sported the shirts today during the Broncos game. How good did that look?
What about, we'll probably talk about him in the Broncos game, but Shibasaki, baller projection 55, and he's gone exactly on 55 pre-updates. So good number to remember. And he looked again like Young GI today, Shibasaki.
Yeah, I was talking before, Tuesday, pre-pod, about how he was doing this crabbing across the field, and I actually went to say, it reminded me of GI, the way he got the ball at left centre and came back across the press, palm, right foot step in. It really did look like him. But Tubes, I believe you've got a little treat for our listeners that you're going to play for us that sums up the Magic Round vibes.
Yeah, so I thought I'd just play this for those that weren't following as much. We were following on socials, but we're also getting WhatsApp updates from what was going on at Magic Round. And this one came in at 11 o'clock last night from C-Mac. I think he might mention the time. And it just really sums up what it feels like Magic Round was about. Chris was six overall coming into the weekend. He brought in Kalen Ponga and Fletcher Sharp. So he was obviously feeling himself after yesterday. Good. But I'll just play it and then we'll move on for recapping the rest of the round.
Boys, I was going to message, but it's not quite going to get it across. Look, it's after 11 o'clock tonight. Second day of Magic Round. Just can't even explain how good it's been. Threw him out on my chest. Making absolute vibe picks. If you are not here, you are not going to compete. Supercoach is all about being on deck at Magic Round. 100%.
So good. Like, you can just see how high on life he is. Sorry, how high on life he is in that. It's so funny.
It's so good because he mentions it, but he's wearing his young GI shirt, 11 o'clock at night, just coming home from just the best day of his life, it sounds like.
I'm just
jealous.
Gear man on my chest. Like, just such a passionate way to say you're wearing a shirt. Good. But, Tubes, we always like to start off the podcast in a bad frame of mind. Normally that's easy for us because normally we've gone bad, but we are high on vibes and pretty decent scores this weekend. Let's bring the mood down with our rage trade segment.
Are you little?
Tubes, who are you looking at sitting on your chopping block this week?
Mine's one of my poor performers from the weekend, and I really didn't want to play him. I think you didn't talk me into him, but you were given big vibes for Billy. And that's Billy Smith from the Roosters. His centre pairing partner went 148, and he's had a measly 34. He's going up another 16K this week, obviously after his big price rise last week. His BE is going to be in the 60s now. So I know he's a number for 13, sorry, for 12, but like, he's just lost all his base the last 2 weeks. Like, I think he's now next on the chopping block from a center wing perspective, which wasn't what I was thinking when I brought him in 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's the curious case of Billy's base. And I was happy to give him a pass last week because it was a really weird game, the Roosters versus Dragons. But this week it was, yeah, it had that potential to be a pretty basic game. There's a bit of work happening. It just wasn't Billy doing it. Tubes, have you heard about the Roosters buy coverage? It's pretty good. I think we've mentioned it a couple of times on this podcast before. So I can't, like, I'm happy. He's 400K. Like, even if he does take a little bit of a dip, I know there's going to be a big score coming and that's going to get those price increases going back up. The Roosters look pretty good as well, so there's no chance of getting dropped. I just think with that buy coverage, even though I'm with you on feeling frustrated this week, especially because I was pretty high on him, I think he's a hold.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got to factor in. I was probably looking at Trade and Toya, so I probably had him going out. So he'll now be covering nicely in those Roosters buy coverage. I don't know. It might feel too sideways, but I really like Marky Mark from the Roosters as well. So, I'm certainly not. I don't feel as comfortable playing in my 17. And when that's the case, then it just probably means that he's next up on the chopping block from those centre wings.
Well, Chiv, let's go to my rage trade, which I think is going to be a pretty big discussion point this week. It's Purdue, your man from the Cowboys, who had 46 with a try on the weekend. He's up to 650K now, but his break-even is in the high 90s. He is going to be an interesting one. I think there's going to be two trains of thought here, Chiv. The first one is that he's peaked. It's not that far to get from him to a Jacob Kiraz, who killed it this weekend, a Dylan Lucas, who went really well this weekend, a Herbie Farnworth, who went really well this weekend. They're all guys who are pretty attainable from Purdue, which is not something you would have thought you'd be saying at the start of the season. The flip side is he just a season-long keeper? He's one of the top try scorers in the NRL. Is he just worth holding and playing throughout the year? What do you think, Chiz? Where are you leaning with Purdue? I know he's one of yours.
Yeah, I love him. He's, even with his 46 on the weekend, he still looked good. He didn't have the easiest matchup out there. I thought the Warriors were obviously defended pretty well. He was still getting through his base. But you're right, 650K. I mean, he's not a Herbie Farnworth, that's for sure.
No.
So like, and can the tries keep coming? But I mean, both you and I own Drinky. He's just a nice Drinky double down. They love that left-hand edge with Nanai, Purdue, Murray, Talungi. I feel like the head says trade, but I wouldn't love watching that Cowboys left edge, especially cheering on Drinky. And their run isn't fantastic. They got the Panthers next week, then Manly, and then the bye. But after that, they basically don't miss a game throughout the rest of the Origin period as well.
Yeah, my gut is saying hold, because I think he looks so good as a football player and that bye coverage that you mentioned. But there is that little nagging thing, like you said, of just, yeah, you could turn him to Herbie and it's basically nothing. And Herbie's definitely a better proposition. The other thing that makes it tricky is that all these cheapies are just going so well. Like Toya's killing it still. Tamale had another big game today. Like none of these guys are losing much trade. Jenkins, for people who held Jenkins, they might have been thinking there's a perfect one to trade. But now he's going to be back off to the races too. So it's tough. My gut's saying hold, but I could very easily have my arm twisted and be trading Purdue over the next couple of weeks or even this week in particular. Tubes, let's get into our round review. We've got to start off with the first game of the round was the Cronulla Sharks versus the Eels, where the Sharkies got the job done. Nicho Hynes had a really good game. He got 117 points, 3 try assists, was controlling everything. 23% of the top 10% of super coaches had the VC on Nicho. Tubes, you were one of them. Did you go the loop?
Yeah, I ended up going the loop. He really set the tone for the weekend, didn't he? Like, was feeling pretty good about that loop. And I haven't done the numbers, but it I would have to say that it could be like at least 1.5 times the number of over 100 scores compared to the rest of the rest of the year. But no, I was still happy to take the loop. Nicho looked unbelievable. It's good to see him back. He's still not as highly owned as what he should be, really, in that sort of top 10% as well. So hopefully he keeps kicking on.
Yeah, Tubes, you mentioned that top 10% with ownership. I should have mentioned this before we got into the round reviews. This week we're going with the ownership that we're quoting is going to be for the top 10% of super coaches. Happy, open to feedback from the snappers. If the snappers get into the socials and tell us that we're being too elitist, that they want us to drop it back to all the super coaches, we're open to it, but that's what we've gone with this week's EE, 54%.
It does seem like you've gone into the top 10% for the first time this year and then you've made this change.
It literally is, isn't it? I swear I didn't like plan it that way. But yeah, I mean, you wouldn't understand it. So the top 10%. Once you're in their shoes, your mindset just changes. You wouldn't get it.
Yeah. I mean, it's your first, actually, it could be your first time in 3 years in the top 10%. So
all right, moving on to Britton Nicara, who had 70 points with a try. What a ridiculous line he ran off Nicho to score that try. How good was it?
Unbelievable. He changed mid-run. Like he was running one line and then it's like he just noticed the defense shift and he just like changed in and it was just unbelievable.
Just a perfect diagonal line. I think the base is still down, like 70 with a try. Again, Nicara, you'd be hoping he's pushing 85 upwards with a try like that. He's losing 16K, so he's going to be down available around 540. His break even 64. It's a tough one, Tubes, because I know you've said before something just doesn't look the same with him with his base this year. We've speculated on the show that are the Sharkies purposely having him do less work to make him more of an attacking weapon close to the line, and that's backed up with his tries this year. How are you feeling about that now?
I couldn't entertain bringing him in. Like, he has such a good chemistry with Nicho, as you saw on the weekend. And I know, like, his base is down 6 or 7 points. And I know that doesn't seem huge, but he hasn't missed a beat with his attacking upside so far this year already. So he's going to have a few lean weeks. And if he doesn't have the base, like, I just can't see him making a huge amount of money. And he needs that base, like, to be able to go on those runs. Like, as in, you can't rely on a try for a 70 every week. He's not going to be an elite back rower like he was, I don't think, this year.
I agree.
From a super coach perspective, obviously.
He looks as good as ever. NRL, yeah. Like, you get those players sometimes who are guns at NRL level that just doesn't translate to super coach. He's not quite at that stage because he still does translate a little bit. I'm with you, Tubes, but it still wouldn't surprise me if suddenly it just he flicks a switch and just that base comes back just because he started off slow with his base last year too. Not quite this slow, but he did start off slow. What about KL Eero, the man with the name change? He had 71 with a try. By the way, he dropped that absolutely cold over the try.
Oh, line. Did he? I didn't notice that.
100, just he dropped it. Go back and watch the replay. Not that I'm complaining because it was off Nicho and I got the VC Nicho loop. So no complaining, but he did drop it. His base plus power was not as strong as it usually is, but he looked pretty good in a return game coming off a hammy, pretty heavily strapped up. He's going to lose 15K and his break-even is nearly 100, so you're going to be able to get him for back around near the 700K mark. He's a big pod. And, Chiefs, you've spoken about like Ryan Pappenhausen at the start of the year, platinum blonde hair equals confidence. I feel the same about the name change. KL Eero means confidence. It means he's backing himself. I love it.
Yeah, I really like it. He's definitely on the radar as a round 12 trade-in target, I think, for that big ups for a potential upside guy in your 13 during that round 12 buy round. I suppose he's also just one that a lot of people are going to have Herbie, Garrick, Kiraz. Like he goes with them, but might be a bit more of a pod option that you can sort of take those ones on.
Yeah, he's currently only in 2% of the top 10% of super coaches. So definitely the only thing, Chiefs, you say bring him in round 12, they have the buy in round 13. I feel like if you want to bring him in, you want to get him for a couple of more weeks run before you're just in for one on the buy for another. But at the same time, you also wouldn't mind watching him drop a little bit in price. So it's a bit of a tricky one.
It is, but they play 12 and 15. So you just like, as in, if you got him 12, it's not the worst. They play 12, 15, 16. So they get the two first major buys and one of the mini buy rounds. So I think around about that time is when you're looking at him.
AFB, just want to mention, Chibs, he only played 43 minutes and got 45 points. A little bit disappointing. I know he was quite popular this week and was brought in by a lot of super coaches at the top of the ladder. Didn't quite translate. There was no injuries there or anything, was there, Tubes? I didn't see anything.
No, he's been playing a bit less minutes. I think a lot brought him in because his minutes were back up last week, but potentially not factoring in, like they played almost a full 10 minutes in Golden Point the week prior, and that sort of bumped his minutes right back up. I feel like this has been what he's been doing most of the year. It's just that he's been scoring a fair few tries that's sort of been covering for him.
Which he is capable of, to be fair.
Oh, yeah.
The Parramatta Eels, Dillbags is probably the biggest one to talk about. That's Dylan Brown, for new listeners. He had 77 with a try and a try assist. For those people who kind of panic traded Jaden Campbell mid-round a couple of weeks ago and got in Dylan Brown, that's a nice little reward for that. He was started off pretty slow but came home with a bang in that game. And Iongi, one of the most popular cheapies at the start of the year, still in 38% of teams. He had 56 points with a try assist and I thought had a pretty good footy game as well. Jubes, anything you want to speak about with Dillbags or Iongi?
No, not really. I think if you're still holding Iongi, which it sounds like 38% of you out there are, like it's time to sell now. Like we're going to talk about them, but these fullbacks are going off.
Let's go to the Roosters versus the Dolphins. And the Roosters have quickly become, I would say, the most relevant team in all of Supercoach. They've got huge ownership amongst their players. We have a lot of guys here on the run sheet to talk about. Tube, some of them we can skip over pretty quickly. You mentioned Robert Toye got 148, two tries and a try assist. He got over 50 points in base plus power this week. He's now going to go up nearly 100K, big negative break even. I mean, is there anything even to say about him other than he's just a clear hold and that's it?
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, it feels like this has been coming since round one. It feels like every week you're sort of going, oh, he seemed to base nearly 40 again, nearly base 40 again. But he's definitely a tackle break and just looks like an absolute weapon. Good to see. I'm glad I hadn't sold him. So I'm going to get the upside even though I didn't play him. I just thought it was an interesting thing. I think it was, I'm trying to get up the exact number. He's in 55% of full teams, but not many of them actually played him the start versus bench number. He was only in 9% of teams of those people that picked him. So a lot of people missed out on that big score.
How many people are going to be playing him next week off the back of this? And are you potentially one of them? Does it change your mindset around Toya?
No. I'm going to now hold him through the buys, which I may or may not have done. And take that price rise, and hopefully he gets to 600K, and then I'll be selling him to a gun.
But are you going to play him? That's the question I asked. Was does it change that?
No. Okay, cool. Sorry, I answered that and then moved on quickly. No, not playing him.
Teddy Tubes, neither of us own him, unfortunately. He got 130, two tries. He basically played 5-8 in attack after Sandon Smith went down. It's a really tough decision for non-owners, as his BE is going to only be 36. I think there's Origin potential, but then Dylan Edwards did look really good today. It's hard because Edwards is the incumbent, but then the coach isn't an incumbent, so he might not care. It's a tricky one. I am going to wait till round 12. I want to make 100% sure before bringing in Teddy this year.
Yeah, me too. And with the bye next week, their only game between now and Origin selection is against the Bulldogs. So I know his break-even's 36, but you can cop the extra whatever it costs. Like, I think that's a nice price to pay to wait an extra week for those that don't own him.
Yeah, worth it for the security. Marky Mark Tubes, you mentioned him at the top of the show too. He had a 91. You were really close to bringing him in last week, and he's had two big back-to-back scores. He had two tries. Base is still not the best. He had 27 in base. It's a bit weird because he's a big body. He busts a lot of tackles. I find it odd that his base isn't better. I wonder if it's just a case of getting used to the NRL. Obviously, it's a much bigger work rate than what rugby union players would be used to in terms of the work they churn through. So maybe that'll improve as the year goes on. You still got him up as a big buy. You don't think he's getting too expensive now that he's going to be up around 600K?
He is starting to, and it might be one that I've missed. I was almost laughed off the podcast a couple of weeks ago for suggesting that he was going to outscore Greg Marju over the Origin period. Oh, just a few giggles. Oh, 13 points, Greg's going to score more than him. 13 points, that's all. But nah, Marky's come out, absolutely killed it for 2 weeks. It's not even about the base with him. He just looks like a very good footballer. I think the structure of their team now, I know Teddy's been good, and I'm not saying it's all Marky Mark, but he's made a big impact. Like, I think the way that he does play, and he gets them going, and his attacking flair is unbelievable. So I just want him, but he's getting expensive.
What podcast were you laughed off? Was it the Tuesday show? Did they give it to you? It wasn't this one. It wasn't the snap.
It wasn't the snap. It was one of the other baller podcasts. They're growing quickly. So one of the Tuesday or the Q&A pod, I think.
One of the ones you're not on. It was behind the back, sounds like.
Yeah. Sneaky, sneaky one.
Connor Watson, he had a 70. I said that Teddy basically played 5-8. Connor actually was playing in the 5-8 role, much more attack reliant, but he got it with a try and a try assist. I think owners are pretty happy to get away with a 70, more than get away with it. Hugo Savala Tubes, he was brought in by nearly 15,000 super coaches this week. He ended up being my AE, actually, with a 62. He had a try assist, try contributions. I've almost had a mental blank. 10 points in conversions. Easily his best NRL game, with Sandon Smith going down and getting 0 points in 6 minutes. He looked really, really good. Savali going up another 60K, break even of negative 31. You can't possibly get him in though now, can you, Tubes? It was this week or never.
Yeah. Last week, this week, now never. Looked very good. Very good. You've just pulled all the right reins the last couple of weeks, McGrath.
I got Savala in before it was the right rein to pull. I think he got like 220s the first 2 weeks I brought him in, but he has come good now, which is nice. Going to make a bit of cash. Sammy Walker on the horizon, though. And we mentioned Sandon Smith there, Tubes, 0 points in 6 minutes. He did get a Category 1 concussion. It looked pretty bad, but the Roosters have the bye next week, so he will be back and available for their next game. Right, that's all the Roosters done. A couple of Dolphins to talk about. Herbie had a 78 with a try, backing up 72 with a try last week. His price is not going to change too much. He's going to stay at around that 720K mark. You told me during the week, Tubes, you're probably going to lay Herbie. I'm interested to hear a little bit more. What's your thoughts there?
I just think you can't have them. You can't have them all. And my center wing is starting to get pretty stacked. I brought in Tracy, as I mentioned, as a bit of a pod play, which we'll get onto a bit later with the Bulldogs. With Toya going off, and I suppose that's what I hadn't considered the Purdue to Herbie, but it's just if you're keeping Purdue, if you're keeping Toya, and I've got Kiraz, like it's more just you can't have them all. So you sort of
yeah.
do Do you pick to try and pod against some of the popular ones? That's all I was sort of thinking. He's got such good base. But
it's hard to beat Herbie, isn't it?
It is. The Dolphins have looked really good the past five weeks, probably, like certainly better than their preseason form, but I still don't think that they're a top eight football team. So I'm thinking there might still be a dip as well.
Well, the other Dolphin to mention didn't even play on the weekend. It's Max Plath. It was announced over the weekend that he did have surgery in that foot. He's going to be gone for 3 to 4 weeks. Disappointing for owners who held, but I guess the plus side is he's not going to be available for Origin now. So he actually might end up being a number over those bye rounds. So we'll see how that pans out.
Do you know, was that 3 to 4 weeks from when he first went off, or is that 3 to 4 weeks from now?
Three to four from the surgery taking place.
Yeah, okay. So he might not make it back for round 12 then.
No, I don't think he will.
Yeah.
I think he's going to miss 12 regardless.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, a bit annoying. The Rabbitohs versus the Knights. I mean, I literally don't have a Rabbitohs player I want to talk about. We're going to bring up a couple in other segments later in the show, but nothing that's relevant. So we'll go through the Knights, and they have plenty of relevance, mainly in their outside backs. Fletcher Sharp, 128 points, had a hat trick, and just every time that the Knights made a break, he was right there in support. There was even one where Jai Gray, right on the end of the first half, Jai Gray kind of got the ball and went into in goals with it just to end the half. And Fletcher Sharp was in there trying to rip the ball out and do a one-on-one strip to score. Like, he just wants points on the board, Fletch. He is going to go up another 60K, a break even just over 30. Surprisingly, he was only brought in by 900 people this week. I thought he was going to be very, very popular because of the Knights' buy coverage. But well done to those who brought him in, Tubes. You didn't, I didn't. Do you think he's still a viable option?
Yeah, I do. Of the 900, I'd say the majority of those are probably Ball R listeners, because he got a big push on the pods. I think for me, I really liked what I saw on the weekend, obviously with the hat trick. But the one thing I hadn't considered is he has been pretty good in a bad Knights outfit. Mm. And so when they do put points on, he is quite a ball dominant player, like as in he's getting a lot of touches. And the one thing I love about him, he reminds me of Pappenhausen, that he doesn't take the foot off the accelerator. Like, he's going to be going for those. Like, he just kept his, you know, foot on the throat, so to speak. And so I think he's certainly a very good option still. They've got a good buy schedule, and Pong is now going to play Origin, so he'll play fullback in round 12. Like, I'm like, that's another one to take on the likes of Herbie, et cetera, with as well.
Not worried about owning too many Knights?
I'm laying Greg. So I potentially owning Ponga, Lucas, Greg, and getting Sharp, if you might feel like a bit too much. But, yeah, a bit different in my situation.
Kalyn Ponga, Tubes, we've stayed loyal to Kalyn in his nearly 400K price drop that he's had this year. He was back, 98 points. 2 assists. He actually had an early shower, which didn't affect his score too much. I think it was only 5 minutes or so. He's only going to make 12K of his value back this week, but hopefully this starts to kickstart things. His break-even's now going to be around 35. It's a bit of a tough call for non-owners with Origin coming up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't think you can buy him, can you? Like,
what? Yeah, you own him for 2 weeks and then sell him again. I don't think so.
Yeah, because you can't hold him over that Origin period, because they do have a nice, similar to the Roosters, they've got a nice Origin run, but not that nice for players that are playing Origin. They're going to miss a lot of games. So, yeah, I'd say Pong is likely to be out of my team by, I don't know, but we'll see. But, yeah, I don't think you can buy it, but it was nice to see him bounce back.
I don't think you can, because I think a lot of people already own Pappenhausen and Drinkwater. And I think your third fullback, if you own those two, has to be Teddy. And I think that, yeah, Teddy's more important than Ponga. So I wouldn't do it. But, yeah, it's an interesting one with so cheap.
Jeez, it's a nice bit of cash. Titans into para. If you were going to bring someone in for a two-game stretch, you want him to be playing Titans and Parramatta.
You know what? If I was a Gutho owner, I'd do it. Yeah. Because you can't hold him. Like, I'd do that as a two-week rental and then upgrade.
Yeah. Gutho to Ponga to Teddy, basically.
Yeah. Feels pretty good. The other three guys available at centre wing who are all killing it for the Knights, Dylan Lucas had 89 with a try assist. He was really popular this week, brought in by over 12,000. He's up another 30K, and I'd say he's pretty much at his proper value now. He's going to settle in around 680K. That feels pretty well priced. He's owned by 51% of the top 10%, and I think he's a great buy for people who don't own him. I think you should still get him with that dual flexibility. What about Greg the Leg Tubes, Greg Marju, 625Ks and 65% of teams. He's going to go up now, and his break-even is going to be around 90. 74 points after a bit of late junk. How are you feeling about the Greg lay a couple of weeks in?
I would have felt a lot better without that literal last-minute junk line break, so tackle good. Busts. Yeah, I mean, he's still doing Greg things. He's looking good. It's going to be a sweat up the next 2 weeks against the Titans and the Eels, as we just talked about with that run. It's going to be a sweat up every week. But, yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good. I feel like I've taken him on, and the people I'm playing instead of him have still gone well.
He had a bit of a rib injury too during the game. Like he was nursing his ribs for most of the game. So it'd be interesting to see if there's any updates coming up with that. He played out, so hopefully he's all good for owners, including me. Bradman Best Tubes, he's kind of flown under the radar a little bit this year because of how relevant all these guys are. He had 105 with a try and an assist. He is only in 3% of the top 10% of Supercoach teams. You just can't touch him because he's, number one, he's an origin risk if there's a couple of injuries. And number two, you can't own every single Knights backline player. But because of all those reasons, he's a massive pod.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. But as you just outlined, 596K. He feels like one, it's like the Dane Gagai, who used to be a very relevant Supercoach player at the Knights, not as much this year. But he feels like one that I'll never own, but he'll always still do well, like as in, and you look back at this season and go, oh, yeah, he was a top 10 to 15 centre wing and had his moments. But, yeah, I don't think you can bring him in.
Let's get on to the next game, the Warriors versus the Cowboys. Luke Metcalf, how well have his owners done? Like, we both sold him tubes fairly early on. I held on a bit longer than you. I went to Jaden Campbell, which I think a lot of other Luke Metcalf owners did. He had 119 in the weekend. He had two tries, 16 points in goals, and it's an absolute dearth of options at 5'8". With that big score, he's going up another 50K to nearly to mid 550s, and his break-even is going to be around 10 now. Well done.
Yeah. The Warriors just look like a completely different team than the one in the first 3 weeks. They look like they're going to be very up and down. They've just strung together a few nice games and probably on the back of the way Metcalf's playing. It's not just Supercoach-wise. He's looking very good NRL-wise. I'd say he's finally looking comfortable being the dominant number one halfback in that team. He could honestly be an option to bring in. Like, for those that went him to Jaden Campbell, do you go back to him?
No, you don't. But I will retire the nickname Fluky Metcalf because what he's doing now isn't fluky anymore. He was really, really good in the weekend. Like you said, him is the number one man. He seems to be picking his spots much better. He's got a better balance now between leading the team around and passing, but also knowing the right time to take on the line. So, yeah, good on him. He seems like an exciting little football player, and I'm glad he's going well. Aaron Clark Tubes, he was your little black book last week. He had what?
It still felt like a little backhanded compliment the way you finished that. He's an exciting little football player. Like,
didn't know to say little.
No.
Aaron Clark, 63, all in base plus power in 69 minutes on the weekend. He's now going to be up over 600K. His break even's going to be in the low 20s. A viable option, Tubes, with those minutes. It's now 3 weeks in a row he's gone up over 60, scoring nearly a point a minute.
I mean, he is. I think you've similar to others, you've just missed the boat now. They're still missing James Fisher-Harris, who I think is back in 1 to 2 weeks. Nikora is playing in the front row. So you'd really – and those young guns, Halasima and Valmunga, am I getting that right? Mm-hmm. And did both of them are looking –
pronunciation both, in –
ever. They're both doing
well done.
Great. They're both looking very good. So I can't see them dropping minutes. So I don't know. Clark's definitely got that role. Don't get me wrong. I just don't see any more upside that I'd be bringing him at over 600K.
You mentioned Leika Halasima tubes. I love watching him play. He's an absolute freak. He had his first 80-minute game on the weekend. He had 53 points all in base plus power. His break-even's going to be just under 40. You can still pick him up for around 460K. He's platinum blonde, tubes. He's dyed the hair platinum blonde. That's confidence. You like that in a player. I'm going to throw it out there, tubes. Is there a chance that he's one of these guys who you can pick up at a discount and could be a season-long keeper?
I think if you could tell me right now that he'll play 80% of the rest of the games at 80 minutes, I would lock him into my side. He is unbelievable, and his base plus power is good. He's like the hitman. Like, as in, I'd love to see him v Olakau'atu in like a run at me challenge. Like, they're just some of the hits he was putting on the weekend was so good. I just, similar to what I just said for Clark, I'm worried about James Fisher-Harris coming back and what that means for his minutes. That's the only pause.
And the thing is, that by the time that happens in 2 weeks, his price could potentially be up over 550K, and it's almost a little bit too late to get on board. But, that is a really good point, Tubes, and enough that's going to make me pause, because I was thinking about declaring I was bringing him in this week on the pod. I was thinking about making that declaration, and you've stopped me in my tracks, so... All right, let's get on to the Cowboys. Scotty Drinkwater, back-to-back 100-plus scores, 127 this week. He had 3 try assists, plus he had 1 disallowed. He was brought in by 11,500 super coaches this week, and he was just in absolutely everything. He's going up 80K. His break-even is going to be under 10. Do you think, Tubes, for the people who don't own him yet, which is a lot of relevant super coach players, is he worth picking up at around 830K?
830K, far out. No, Teddy first. He doesn't play the round 12 bye, so I'd be looking to bring him in now after round 12, round 13, and hope that he has a couple of small price drops potentially between now and then. He looks so good on the weekend, though. No, he won't. You're right. Like, I'm thrown by that price. That's all. Like, he looks so good.
Do you want to double check that he was 750K coming in this week for me, Tubes, while I talk about our next player? Because I'm pretty sure those numbers are correct, but I'd love it if you double check for me.
No, he's 750K for sure.
There you go.
With the goal kicking, he's still so involved in every attack. Can I just, I'm just digressing. My last 2 weeks, I've brought in Drinky and Tracy, and like they're averaging 120 across those 2 weeks. Like, I feel like I'm still losing ground. Like, okay. I'm like, how am I still losing ground on the pack? Like, as in, it just, like, what do I have to do?
I thought you were just bringing that up just to give yourself a massive rap. No, I didn't realize you were actually putting yourself down at the end of it.
I just don't know what to do. Just find some more 100. Got to find 150 averaging players and bring them into the team.
What about the origin bound Cowboys, tubes? I'm calling it, one of which you're going to strongly disagree with, but that's the subcategory I've given him today. Murray Taulagi, he had 98 points with a try. Tubes, I just want to chuck in. I did the maths for you on this. Didn't want you to toot your own horn, so I'll do it for you. He's averaging 91 points per game since you had him as your little black book in round 4. Got to be pretty happy with that.
I'd be happier if I brought him in, but yeah, I'm still happy.
Still nice though.
Yeah, well done.
Jeremiah Nanai had 83 with a try and a try assist. Jeeves, I haven't done the numbers on what he's averaging since I had him as my ready to explode a few weeks ago. Maybe you can do that for me next week. And Tommy Dearden is the last of our origin-bound Cowboys. He had 76 points with a try. Tubes, you and I are in strong disagreement with this. We had a lot of back and forth text during the week. Last week on the show, I said I think he's a big chance of playing number 14 for Queensland. You on the show said no chance. You then doubled down. You listened back to our show the next day and sent a voice memo saying, I've just listened to the show again. Your call about Tom Dearden playing Origin is absolutely ridiculous. Do you still stick with that?
I stand by it. He's not, like, I'm not saying it's ridiculous that he won't play, but he needs an injury. Like, I don't think he's not in the 17. with Munster, and Cherry is the halves, and I don't think he's making the bench. He's definitely next man up as the 5-8, and I'll concede that he'll probably be 18th man for round 12, but that's about it.
I'm so tempted to offer up another stake bet. My Wade Egan one's already home. We didn't mention him in the Warriors game. They've now got a hooker on the bench. He's gone. I'm so tempted to offer up another stake bet and make it two, but I'm just gonna leave it. I'm not confident enough to do that, but I just think he's a big chance of being the 4-day.
Well, I'm happy. Double down.
Let me sit on it. I'll think.
Let's
go to the Ready to Explode segment. Tubes, who have you got for us this week who you think is going to absolutely take off?
My man, I didn't mind him before this round. And actually, it also came, I think, from some people at Ball R Towers. Bit of projection chat in this one, and that is Selwyn Cobbo. Did you watch much of this Broncos game today?
Yeah.
He was
their best player.
He was their best player by far. He was running so ridiculously hard, but also still had that knack of looking effortless in what he was doing. Like, it's just so he's goal kicking. No, sorry, he's the backup goal kicker if Adam Reynolds ever gets injured. He's playing fullback. I think Reece Walsh is out for another 4 weeks. He's had 61 today. Basically just being an absolute weapon. And their run coming up is they've got the Bunnies into St. George, and then they do miss the round 12 bye, and then they've got Manly into the Gold Coast. So if Reece Walsh is out for those next 4 games or next 5 weeks, and he's fullback, I just think that, like, he's almost at 461K, he's almost getting into must-buy territory.
Yeah, and Tubes, I think he's an origin risk, but the good thing is with that draw you just highlighted, it probably doesn't matter because they miss round 12 anyway, and I imagine unless he was to get hurt if he played origin, which is only an if, he'd back up 13 because they need him to play fullback. So I quite like it, Tubes. The price is right. He's a big pod, but he has looked really, really promising playing fullback for them. So, yeah, might have to look into a little
bit. He doesn't play Origin right now, does he? He's not. I know, I'm not that this needs to be an Origin predictor show, but I'd say Coates and Tuolungi and then Val Holmes could be centres, but I'd say that they're ahead of him.
Yeah, it'll be Val Holmes, and there's another obvious centre candidate there too, Tubes, so he won't even play centres. I'm having a mental blank. The Hammer. Hammer and Val, I'd say, are probably going to be the centres. So, yeah. I'd say it's unlikely to have an injury. But like you said, it probably doesn't matter because of the draw that you just highlighted. It's a good one, Tubes. I like it, and I'll take a look at him. My ready-to-explode player is Isaiah Katoa from the Dolphins. He had a 73 in the weekend. His bye schedule is not too bad. He plays rounds 12 and 15, two of the major bye rounds. He plays two of the mini bye rounds, rounds 16 and 19. He's only had one score below 50 this year, and to me, he's just getting better and better every single week. I don't think there's any halfback in the comp at the moment who's better at digging into the line and setting up their outside man than Isaiah Katoa. He's only going to go up 30K, so he's still available at around 600K. I just think he might be – a lot of people are going to be looking for a Nathan Cleary downgrade option over the Origin period, and I think he is a massive pod, and I think his ownership should go up during that period. What do you reckon?
I still just can't do it. Like, I feel like if I was selling Cleary over that period, I'd be moving, like, I'd be looking for a cheaper option, like, and really using the cash elsewhere. Like, I just think he's a little bit too expensive for me to be looking at bringing in. I'd rather a bigger upside players for those buy rounds that you've mentioned, the 12 and 15, and use, if I'm downgrading Cleary, using the cash elsewhere.
The only problem, Tubes, is going cheaper than Cleary is that makes it so much harder to get back up to Cleary later on. Like, I don't mind sometimes going, like, even a Jerome Hughes as another alternate, but I don't mind going one of these guys who can still produce because it's not that big of a jump to get back to your keeper level players once it's said and done. And if you go down too much, that can be really challenging.
I hope you do it. I'd love it if you did it. I think he's just not one of my boys for some reason. I don't know why. I can't get around him myself as a pod option.
You know, the only negative, Tubes, and the reason I looked at that I probably won't, is that he has exactly the same buy schedule as Nico Hines, and having them both at halfback means they're going to be available the same weeks, but that also means like round 13, the mini buy, they're both going to be unavailable with all those Origin players backing up. So it makes it tough if you're a Nico Hines owner as well. So that's going to give me a fair bit of pause there as well. But I do like him a lot. I think he's a good option. Yep. All right, let's get into the second half of the round review. The Tigers versus the Dragons was a really fun game to watch last night, Chews. I don't know if you managed to catch too much of it. But Terrell May, he had 79 points, 76 minutes. This bloke is an absolute machine. He was the second most popular captain of the round. And look, it's one of those weeks where with so many popular players going off, that 79 probably feels a little bit disappointing. But just another great game for those owners, which is nearly all of us.
He seemed in the first 20, 30 minutes like he was not going at his normal 1 PPM. And I was like, oh, like imagine he pulls out a 60 and everyone's been a lot of people captaining him. But, yeah, still just got it done. He just turns it up when he needs to at the back end of the game.
Lockie Galvin had 48 points with a try assist. He was brought in by 1,200 super coaches this week. Tubes, I know you're thinking about Lockie Galvin. I put him up as a ready to explode last week. I actually thought from an NRL perspective he looked phenomenal on the weekend, and that could have easily been a bigger score. You're looking at him as a potential pod yourself, Tubes, you mentioned before the show.
Yeah, possibly. Although when we get to him, and maybe we'll talk about him now, the new king of the Dragons, new king of Cogra, King Tongia. Now that he is had an 83 with 2 try assists, I just can't see that I'm bringing Galvin in because I need that place. I need that place in my 5'8 spot to downgrade to.
Tubes, I just want to say your pronunciation again. You are on fire. This is your best ever week of pronunciation. I noticed you did dodge Mark. I'm not going to say it in case you want to try. You dodged Marky Mark earlier, but well done on your pronunciations. Tubes, he looks really good, King Tongia. I've seen a few of the Dragons fans online calling him LKT, which rolls off the tongue quite nicely. LKT, the only problem with him is he doesn't look the basiest of players. I think there's going to be some low weeks there when the attacking stats don't come through. But for all those who brought him in, which was 6% of the top 10% did this week, couldn't get off to a much better start. You couldn't ask for more.
Yeah, I didn't watch enough of the game, but given he's had 2 assists, I imagine he's going to have some attacking upside. I'm going to keep a spot free for him, basically for that third round price rise, based on how he goes next week. So I won't be trading at 5'8 this week.
Back to another Tiger for a moment, Tubes. I'm actually pretty bored about talking, so I hope you don't have too much to add to him because it feels like he's been on the show every week because he's so relevant. He always scores okay, and he's dual. It's Adam Dewey, who had 55 with no major attacking stats. His goal kicking is just absolutely pinpoint at the moment. He only missed one on the weekend, but I'm pretty bored of him. Anything to add, or can we move on to a very relevant Dragon?
Yes, move on.
Let's go. The fiery redhead, Egan, 97 points with an early try. He was actually sold by 4,000 super coaches this week. And not just the try and not just the score, but his minutes were back up to 73. So he went 80, then 73. Last week, randomly, just a game in the high 40s. And then this week, back up to 73. His cash rise is now restarted. His break-even is going to be in the low 20s. And I think with those minutes going back up, he's right back into should be factored in as a playable option.
Yeah. So what's he had in 73 minutes, even without the try, he's had just below 70 as a score. My only annoyance with him is just that I played him last week and then didn't play him this week. But I played him last week for a reason, and that's because I do think he looks like a genuinely very good footballer. And we've said it before that he seems like a bit of a flannel man. And so 73 minutes, it's good to see, and I hope it just continues because I'd love to just keep him in my lock him in my 17 in my back row for the Origin period.
Absolutely. Val Holmes, just a 94, looked great. Origin, blah, 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 irrelevant, but just looks great. Another Dragon, Tubes, had a little bit of a scare. Toby Couchman, who has become really popular over these last few weeks. He had 69 points in 56 minutes, but he actually came off the field in the first half complaining of pins and needles in the shoulder after a hit. So it looked pretty bad, but really positive signs of coming back on. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. I don't think the Dragons are sending back out there with all the forward depth they have now, their young fellas, if there was anything wrong. And Gutho, Tuesday. I'm going to try and think of Danny Boy from the Tuesday Sean Ball. I'm going to try and say this without a smile on my face and sympathise with Dan. He had 43. It's now two games in a row with no attacking stats. He's losing 70K. His break-even is going to be up over 120. And his price is actually now dropping back below what people brought him in for at the start of the year.
Yeah. I mean, he's regressed back to the mean, unfortunately, for Gutho. I'd plead with those that still own him to sell him. Don't sit around waiting for him to get back to the highs of the hundreds. You'll be waiting potentially. He'll do it again at some point this season, but it's not going to be frequent enough. It's time to sell him before he drops too much more.
On to today's games, Tubes, the Titans versus the Dogs. The Dogs romped at home.
Jono, just before we jump into that, I'm sorry, I probably seemed distracted in that game. I was actually trying to text your partner, Ash, to see if she had the balls to take me on with a stake bet. With Tom Dearden. I think she must be asleep. She hasn't come back to me. But I'm gonna take her stake bet because I'm sure she will come back when she wakes up and accept that. But I'm sorry that I was a bit distracted during that Tigers Dragons recount. I was just looking for someone in your family to step up.
I'm used to you and her sneaky text messaging on the side, so I'm glad you at least told me about this one. It feels good to know that text message is coming through. She doesn't listen this far into the pod, Tube. She normally gives us 10 minutes and then turns off, so she won't even hear any of this.
No good.
The Titans versus the Dogs, Tubes. You mentioned Connor Tracy. You brought him in. 121 points with a try, and also a try assist and two contributions. He's only in 2% of the top 10% of super coaches, and he's going up 50K with a 37 break even. You've got to be cheering about that, Tubes. Well done on bringing him in.
I thought he looked good. He looked very much part of their attack. I mean, it was very junky right at the end, but he was still a 90 odd before then. And the big thing for the Dogs, and the main reason I brought him in, and the reason why Kiraz is such a popular buy, other than being a complete gun, is they had the Titans this week, so that was the week to do it. Then they've got the Raiders into the Roosters, into the Dolphins for that round 12 bye. So I think that's a nice upside gain. And then they've got Parramatta into Souths. So that next 5-6 games is just gold for the Dogs, I think. So, yeah, I'm very happy. It's always nice when you bring in someone and they kick goals like that. That's for sure.
Good segue, because I brought in Jacob Kiraz this week and he scored 3 tries. And it does feel nice, Tubes, when they do that. 137 points. I actually think he got a try contribution. I think it's a 50-50 chance of upgrading to a try assist. He definitely caught the ball, dummied, and then made the right pass. So we'll see what happens there. 3 line breaks, 4 offloads, 10 tackle busts. He's going to be up around 725K or so next week with a pretty low break even. Are we calling him a must, Tubes, to bring in for those who don't?
Only going up 45K, so I think he is a must. Bring in for this week. I think he'll get the update of the try assist and also some offloads. So he'll probably go 150 plus. We just talked about that run. Like, geez, you wouldn't want to not own him over the next 5 weeks.
No. And he you said last week, Tubes, in the show about this, probably the worst game of his NRL career. This was a good one. Like, he was just busted. Like, he just had one where he just caught the ball and just busted the line, which is not normally his go, and he looked phenomenal. I agree. I think he's a must bring in, definitely more than Herbie or Dylan Lucas. He's the number one I wouldn't want to be without.
He is, I'm just to finalize this advocacy, he is probably has the best or second best base for a center wing in Supercoach, and he's playing in now a top 2 NRL side, and he knows how to finish a try. Like, how could you lay that? It's just, it feels impossible.
Yeah, you'd be crazy not to get him. From the Dogs, last couple of players, Tubes, you want to talk about, because you've got a pod you want to mention. I'll talk about the obvious one, then I'll leave that pod up to you. Jacob Preston had 87. He had a try and a try assist. He just keeps getting it done. He's just such a good NRL player. Tubes, who's your pod that you want to talk about?
I think Stephen Crichton, worth a shout out. He's got 104. We obviously have talked about this run. I think he's a lock for State of Origin. He'll be there in the Blues side. But even with that, they don't play round 13, so you miss the mini bye. And then, as I said, they've got that Parramatta game. So it is a bit tricky to potentially bring him in right now, but it does seem like he's won the goal-kicking duties over Matt Burton. And I do think that right side attack with Kiraz outside him, Preston on that right side, and just those sweeping Tracy plays that they've got sort of going on, and just how good the Dogs look, I think he could be a back end bit of a pod play. Like, he could end up being a top 5-6 centre wing, particularly with the goal kicking. Like, that's a big factor.
I don't think you're going to bring him in this year. And it's not because I think he's bad. You mentioned a pod. He's in 0.2% of teams in the top 10%. So it's a super pod. I just think that by the time it comes around to Origin being over Tubes, that your centre wing will just be pretty set. The only way I can see you bringing him in, or anyone really bringing him in, is if there's an injury and then you bring him in as a pod. But I think without injury, your team's going to be too settled by the time he's relevant.
Yeah, and who knows? They could be going so well that they're resting players at the back end of the year as well. So
true.
I don't know. I really like. I like. He's such a good footballer, and it just feels like the Dogs' attack is gonna click or gonna keep clicking for this year. And I just want to ride the Dogs' wave, I suppose.
The team they played are on the opposite kind of a wave. They're looking terrible, but Bo Leavers, rejoice. Our man, Bo Furmore, was in Furmore. He had 100 points again, back-to-back hundreds for Big Bad Bo. Two tries. He's going to go up 95K, and he's got a negative break-even of 24. Jeez, you'd hate to have sold him 3 weeks ago. Wouldn't you, Tubes?
I do hate it. I hate it. It's almost your defining part of your season, making the call to hold on to Bo. And it's worked out well for you. Origin now on the radar, though. Like, he's more of a chance than Tom Dearden.
You said he was no chance just last week, Tubes.
I'm flipping. He's looking very good. It is tough that Queensland back row is
not that strong.
Not the strongest it's been. Yeah, that's for sure. So he's looking very good. He's run such a good line. I don't know. Like, this was the week if you were going to buy him. I don't think anyone's jumping on now. So he's in 21% of the top 10%. So he's not a bad little pod option for you.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't get him at 650K with Origin on the horizon. And it's 100 with two tries. Like, he's going to have a week where he goes 45 to 50 playing in the back row. So he's going to have his
try off kick, though. Try off a kick. So not too, like, yeah. Obviously,
yeah,
still good.
No, I'll take it. But, yeah, I think he's going to have down weeks too. Tubes, let's go to these last couple of games. The Panthers versus the Broncos. Cleary looked absolutely fantastic. He, I think, was only captained by 1% of super coaches. Not a popular captain this week. After last week's, he was very popular and burnt a few. He, 134, a try assist, two try contributions, 24 points in goals, just in absolutely everything. Looked great. Jenkins. Leroy Jenkins, 126, two tries. had over 50 in base plus power this week. 15,000 sold. We both did. I was so angry. So angry watching him score his first try, and I was even more angry watching him score the second. Where was this, Tubes? Where was the base? Where were the tries? And why did it have to happen the week we sold?
It's disappointing. Very good for those who held, though, that's for sure.
So good.
Because that Panthers attack, it clicked, didn't it, against the Broncos this weekend? It's sort of like what you've been waiting to happen for the last 6 weeks. If their attack looks like that, not only is he a nice, cheap moneymaker, but he's a play in your 17.
Yeah. Looks fantastic. I'm annoyed, but yeah, at the same time, it was the logical move. One of those ones where you feel like you made a logical move and it just hasn't worked out. The Broncos, Payne Haas, 89 points in 68 minutes. We said that Selwyn Cobbo was their best player before. He probably wasn't. It was probably Payne. We're just so used to Payne doing it every week that it doesn't seem like he's their best. He had a great game. Xavier Willison, Tubes, you really thought long and hard about bringing him in this week. Aren't you glad you didn't? Sometimes the best moves are the ones you don't make. Willison, 19 points in 42 minutes.
Yeah, and I don't know what was going on. I was watching closely. I had traded him in. I reversed it when I decided to loop Nico because I just didn't need the player. And, geez, I'm glad that I did. It was weird too. Even in that 42 minutes that he played, there was a point where Haas switched to the edge and he started playing through the middle, which I was like, I started going, oh, this might be nice. Like maybe they're going to just switch around and Willison plays 80 middle and edge. But then he got hooked. And that was the one worry was I think Ricky Hunt and Pia Cora and someone else was there thereabouts. And there's just too many back rowers in that team all of a sudden. Like he's so yeah, happy to avoid and he'll go back into Supercoach obscurity now.
Only one man we can finish with, Tubes. He's emblazoned on your chest right now. Shibasaki, young GI. He had 55 points. He had one line break. The rest was in base plus power. Like you even said a couple of weeks ago when he was going really well, you said he might be a season-long hold. And I literally did laugh. I thought you were joking, but you weren't. You were being serious. And he actually does look like a guy you could potentially carry as your sixth center wing all the way home.
Just that base and power is unbelievable. Like when he is a man that has to, when the sleeves need to be rolled up, he rolls them up and he's got tackle bait breaks in him. He's definitely got that attacking upside. I mean, the Broncos only scored 8 points today. They're going to have some games like they did last week where they absolutely belt teams. And so I think he's in for at least two more tons this season. And if his floor can sort of be that 50 range, then yeah, I think he'll be staying in my side as the sixth, seventh center wing, as you said.
Yeah, it's worked out so well for you, and it's just so good with Baller getting around. The first ever Baller merch is young GI, and he just continues to stay relevant. So I just, even though I traded him a couple of weeks ago, and it's been a fine trade, I'm so happy to see him still going well and be relevant. On to the final game of the round, Tubes, the Storm versus the Raiders. KO Weeks had 101 points. He was the top point scorer, for the Raiders. I don't think KO Weeks is relevant, but good on him for cracking the 100. Hot Tamale, 74 points with a try. He's going to go up another 64K now. He's going to be up over 560K. Break-even's 30. And he did his usual thing, Tubes. He was not that involved in the game, scored a try. He loves it. He loves the early try, early involvement. Then just suddenly his base was up, he's busting tackles, he's in everything. I didn't play him.
Good try too. Did well to finish.
He's a frustrating one to own because I know that the second I play him, he's not going to score and he's going to have 25 points. But for now, he's a hold and he's someone you can feel comfortable playing, I guess, if you don't have any other options. The Horse Tubes is probably the other Raider worth spending a bit of time on. He had 44 points in 49 minutes. He did get a HIA with 3 minutes to go. And because of the extra time that ended up happening in this game, his minutes probably would have ended up being up around 57, 58, probably would have got a pretty good score. I'm a non-owner, Tubes. What do you think about the Horse now?
It's a bit of a tough one. Interested to see what that HIA looks like. I think if he misses next week with a HIA, it might not impact, to be honest, but he's certainly looking more and more like a sell as the weeks go on. I'm just not convinced he makes Origin, and if he doesn't make Origin, then he'll be a nice number in that round 12 game against New Zealand. He's also very nice that you can flip him up to the front row. So they also play the round 13 mini bye, the Raiders. So you can move him up if you've got Jules. And I think that there's a chance that Haas and or May don't back up. So he's just a nice number, and that's sort of his good points about him. Otherwise, if I wasn't planning for the buy rounds, I think he is he's just an out and out sell and time to move on to another gun.
Yeah, I think that even if he does play Origin, even if he's on the bench and playing small minutes, I think he's a big chance of a rest two tubes. They're forward depth. They got Trey Mooney, who's just not even in the team, and he's an absolute gun. They got Simi Sasangi, who's a good player. There's so many good guys there that I think there's a chance that even if he does play Origin, Raiders just have the depth in their forward pack to rest him regardless. And I do think he's going to play Origin. So I did sell 2 weeks ago. I know I would still recommend him as being a sell, personally. On to the Storm players. Tubes, you like the look of Pod Sua Fa'alongo, who had 107 with a try and a try assist today. He only played his second game, so he's on the bubble coming into this week, isn't he? In 0.1% of the top 10%.
Yeah, that was his second game. So he'll have a break-even now of -2 or something like that, -4. Can you buy him? Like, is it possible to buy him? Like, that Storm side is very, very good. His whole Supercoach game is very friendly. Not necessarily from a base point of view, not that it's bad, but, like, you just know that he's gonna do something if he's on the field. Not a bad sort of mini buy runs for the Storm. And I don't know, he's an option.
Not for me. I don't think he's an option.
If he was 100K cheaper, maybe 100 to 150K cheaper, he'd be on a lot more people's radar. But he's just that little bit expensive, I think.
Three very relevant players that we'll talk through. Two of them, I don't think we have too much to say. Ryan Pappenhausen had 77 points with a try. Eli Katoa, 65 points, 61 of those in base plus power. He's now going to be down to about 650K. So he's pretty much bottoming out. So very interesting for anyone who doesn't own. He's 48% owned in the top 10%. So it's a bit of a big swing player coming into that buy period. And finally, Tubes, Cam Munster. He had 43, had his usual assist of a kick. He loves those this year. He is going to be down around 600K after the round with an 85 break even. Is he someone that you're looking at selling over the Origin period, Munster? And if that's the case, could you look at him early?
Yes, I'm looking to sell him. Break even of 85, I'd probably hold him next week. But I think for the new King of Kogra, he could be an easy downgrade option to free up a huge amount of cash and look at getting some upside in other positions.
Let's now get on to the final segment of the show, Tubes. It's time for the Little Black Book. Who have you got jotted down in there for us this week?
This one came from a game we didn't really talk about any other player in their team, and it was they're not relevant at the moment, but it was from the Bunnies. So they got smashed by the Knights. It's happened now a couple of weeks in a row, and that's Campbell Graham. They're following the Philip Sammy route. They're naming him in four, but they're actually playing him on the wing, and they're playing Tass in the centres. I owned Campbell Graham at the start of the year. He is a historical Supercoach gun before his injuries last year. I thought at the start of the year when I owned him, I got him out after 2 weeks. He was not looking fully fit. Like, he was looking okay defensively. He was looking good, but he wasn't busting tackles, wasn't looking fantastic. These last 2 weeks where he's played more on the wing, I think he's looking back to his big, strong, powerful best. His base is great. He had 60 on the weekend with a try contribution and pretty much base plus power in pretty much as well beaten a side as you're going to see. I think with Latrell coming back, the Bunnies can look to go on a run. I think Campbell Graham could be a nice option to bring in over that buy period at a bit of a cheaper price now.
You are preaching to the converted here, Tubes, in terms of Campbell Graham. He's one of my favourite footy players in the NRL. As a South fan, I think all South fans love Campbell Graham. The only concern I have, and I have the same concerns for my own little black book, who's also a South player that I'll talk about in a moment, is just that they have so many injuries that I just can't see them being that consistently good. And you mentioned Trellback, but he's going to miss a bit of time over Origin too. I just worry about his ability to go big. I think, yeah, that base plus power looks like it's going to come back. He's such a good player, but I just don't know if there's the attacking upside at the moment. He probably will go on a run and South will come good at some stage and players start to get fit. I'm just not confident that I could pick the right time for an outside back, but I do appreciate the shout and I think it's not a bad one. I could really easily see it coming off. I'm going to get to my one now, is Keon Kolomatangi. He this year has now dropped 80K for the year. And basically the only constant in the South Sydney forward pack is Keon. Actually, there's two. One of them is Sean Kepi dropping the football lots. The other one is Keon Kolomatangi playing 80 minutes every week. And base plus power for him had been down all year, just like you were saying for Campbell Graham tubes. Kolomatangi, he had 60 in base plus power this weekend. And he's also a back rower who can easily get relevant attacking stats. So far this year, he's only had two tries and one try assist for the entire season, and he's played every single game so far. So I just think he's dirt cheap at 530K. He's a super pod. I think he has attacking upside in him, but I think he doesn't rely on it because I think when he's back to his best, that base plus power for him is really strong.
Yeah, look, I think he's going to be an option in a position that has been pretty lackluster so far this year. And given how many of the premium second row forwards are in Origin contention, I think that he's, I'll definitely be having a look at. I was just looking at South's run while you were talking. Basically, from that mini buy round onwards in round 13, they play most of the good buy rounds that you want them in for, and they will definitely become a lot more relevant.
Chiefs, that pretty much closes us out. Just another reminder for anyone who hasn't joined the Unlimited League, 730-444. That's 730-444. And if you haven't been online to look at all the content coming out of Magic Round for Matt and Chris up there, looked like they had a lot of fun. They were giving away shirts, interviewing punters. Like we said at the top of the show, Tubes, we're incredibly jealous of everything that happened up there. Tubes, Tuesday show this week. Always a big one coming into Team List Tuesday. Hopefully they can get Chris on so he can sprinkle a little bit of that magic that he's been going with. Matt himself is probably going to be sitting up and around that top 30. And Danny Boy, he's in that dangerous period where he's going to start to be looking for super pods, and I'm sure he'll be able to bring up a few of them on the show this week. Tubes, anything else for us?
You beauty.